And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, prophecy is so incredibly important. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the little book of Amos in the Old Testament. You know, it's a powerful book because it tells you about prophecy. And it says in the last days, people will be desperate to know the truth. They will want so much. They'll be so hungry for the truth to be told. And they'll literally travel long distances, even across oceans and seas, just to hear the truth told. Isn't that something? People so hungry for the Word of God? Why don't they just go to any average-sized city in America where there are 15 to 100 churches? Well, that's the problem. You see, in the book of Amos, it says there will be a famine in the land. A famine. People will be starving, hungry, but not for bread. The prophet Amos said they would be hungry, starving, for the word of God to be preached to them. Because Amos also prophesied, he said, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God reveals secrets to his servants, the prophets. Did you know that Jesus said even the mystery of the kingdom of God cannot be understood by the common, ordinary, average person? It doesn't matter if they have a PhD or a DD or what, THD. It doesn't matter. They cannot understand the secret things of God. They cannot even understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. Next month, on Christmas weekend, I'm going to be talking to you here on the radio about the secrets of the kingdom of God. The mystery of godliness. The whole world doesn't know one thing about it. Maybe you won't either. Maybe you're one of the ones who won't understand. But if you are of Jesus Christ, you will understand. And Jesus said it makes all the difference in the world. Those outside the faith. Remember, he said when he returned again, would he even be able to find faith on planet Earth? So there are very few that find that narrow way, that enter therein at the gate. Very few of us, my friends. And it is given unto you, if you are of Jesus Christ, and I don't mean the great many teeming millions who say they're of the bride of Christ, but do lie. I'm talking about the remnant, the few people who are left on this planet. It is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those outside the kingdom cannot possibly know. No matter how many times they read the Bible, no matter how many computers they have to analyze the Bible, no matter how many seminary professors meet in conferences and conclaves and seminars, they cannot understand the simplest thing about the kingdom of God. They cannot understand it. But is it given to you, dear friend, to know? We shall see. I pray it is. You know, a couple of years ago, I did a very interesting series on prophecy and discussed the prophetic book of Esther. A lot of people don't know it's prophecy. They think it's just history. There again, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are given only to his servants. They are secrets. Esther is true. Every word is true, as are all the words in the Bible. The story of Esther and her cousin Mordecai and their wicked, evil ways. That's right, wicked, evil ways. And it was through their wicked, evil ways that a Jewish holiday or holy day is established that is celebrated throughout the world by the Jews every year. It's called the Feast of Purim, P-U-R-I-M. And the word literally means those who participate in the lottery. Those who participate in the lottery. Gamblers, risk takers, Purim, they cast lots. Just as lots were cast for Jesus' cloak, his vestment, Purim means those who cast lots. What risk takers they are, because they've taken on the wrong one in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to talk all about Esther and Mordecai today, but I want you to know something. Esther and Mordecai were crypto-Jews. Crypto meaning secret. Crypto meaning hidden, in the closet, to be discovered. People who hide things, but not holy things. The holy things are of God, and if he wants to hide them, well, that's his business. I'm not going to sit here and say, God, you shouldn't do that. Who am I if he wants to conceal mysteries? In fact, the Bible says it is the noble person who studies the Bible and seeks after the mysteries of God. Are you a noble person, dear friend? But listen to me. Esther and Mordecai were greedy seekers who should have been in Israel and Jerusalem, because already the Jews had left. The true Jews, always the minority. But the synagogue of Satan had stayed behind in Persia or Babylon. The other Jews had already gone back. Because when Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, had been overthrown, the new regime told the Jews, you can return back to your homeland, to Jerusalem. They had been in captivity 70 years. And you can even go back and rebuild the walls. Read the stories of Nehemiah and Ezra in the Old Testament. Rebuilding the wall. Jeremiah had prophesied a captivity of 70 years, and exactly 70 years later, the Jews were released to go back. But there were the majority of Jews who said, it's too comfortable here. We've been given a lot of prosperity and riches. We want to stay. Among those were Esther and Mordecai. Esther became queen of Persia, and her cousin Mordecai, another crypto or hidden Jew, became sort of the regent, the chief lieutenant to the king, Ahasuerus of Persia. Crypto Jews, and these two crypto Jews, Esther and Mordecai, were given power, and the secret police forces and the military were under their command, and they sent forth and massacred throughout the kingdom all those who opposed the Jews. These two crypto-Jews, Esther and Mordecai, killed not only their enemy Haman and his 10 sons, but went out throughout the kingdom and killed over 75,000 of their enemy. Enemy of who? The Jews. The Jews who had stayed in Persia, who had refused to go back. 70 years it had been allotted for them to remain in captivity. Jeremiah prophesied it. 70 years later, those who were the true followers of God returned to Jerusalem. The others stayed in the Persian kingdom because they had such power, so many riches, prosperity. Today we have a situation where there are 18.5 million Jews spread throughout the world. How fortuitous for them. Why don't they all go back to Israel at once? Because it's not convenient. They're comfortable. They're happy where they're at. But many of them, to do their foul deeds and evil purposes, just as Esther and Mordecai did, they remain crypto-Jews, hide the fact that they are Jews. Why would they do this? We shall see. Why does any man hide his origins? If you are Scottish, or German, or English, or Colombian, or Canadian, or African, it doesn't matter to me. I believe all men should be treated equally. Why do I believe all men should be treated the same? Because Jesus He treats all men the same. Whosoever will may come. Why would the Jews pretend to be what they're not? Of the 18.5 million Jews, how many are crypto or secret in the closet Jews today? Some would say, well, they do that because they're afraid of persecution. Are you kidding me? Hillary Clinton was a crypto Jew. She admitted in New Yorker magazine she is a Jew. Her grandmother was a Jew. Used to speak Yiddish. The European Jewish dialect around the house. That's what Hillary said. Everybody thought she was a Methodist Christian. But Hillary Rodham was Jewish. Is Jewish. Recently, Senator George Allen was outed for being a Jew. But why did he have to be outed for being a Jew? Did it hurt him in the state of Virginia to be a Jew? No. Did it hurt Mr. Lieberman to be a Jew? No. He was elected. Mr. Howard Dean is head of the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party. He's married to a Jew. He's a Jew. Didn't hurt his career much. Alan Greenspan, chairman of the Federal Reserve, didn't hurt his career much. Well, he was replaced recently by Mr. Ben Bernanke, another Jew. Hasn't hurt his career much. He's head of all the money systems of the world, practically. Before him, Greenspan. Before him, well, I guess it was Paul Volcker. He was Jewish. In fact, I don't know of any Fed Reserve chairman who's not Jewish. Henry Paulson is now chief of staff at the White House. He was head of the Goldman Sachs Wall Street firm. He's worth tens of millions of dollars. He's head of the chief of staff for George Bush in the Oval Office. Runs day-to-day operations of the United States government. Doesn't hurt him that he's Jewish, Mr. Paulson. Ken Mehlman, M-E-H-L-M-A-N, is chairman of the GOP, the Republican National Committee. Head of the Republican Party. He's Jewish. He's, as far as I know, not a crypto Jew. He's never hidden the fact that he's Jewish. Was he discriminated against because he said, I'm Jew? No. He's been made head of the Republican Party, head of the Democratic Party, head of the Federal Reserve Board, chief of staff of the White House, and on and on. Hadn't hurt Barbara Streisand's reputation much, has it? She's a millionaire many times over for singing. Have people discriminated against her because she was Jewish? You have some of the filthiest and evil people in the world. Joan Rivers, the filthy mouth comedian. Joan Rivers. She's Jewish. She was talk show host on a radio show showcasing Hollywood celebrities out in Los Angeles. And she said, I'll be right back after this brief message. And a commercial came on. She didn't expect it was a commercial paid for by Jews for Jesus. And they invited people to phone or write them to get a free book about Jesus. Boy, she had a tirade. When she came back on the air, she said, those MFers, and I'm not going to say the whole words. You know what they were, don't you? MFers. She called them every name in the book, and she said, they'll never be on this radio program again. I didn't know those dirty you-know-whats, and she called Christian Jews names. Recently, Mel Gibson was arrested for drunkenness by a Jewish policeman. They were out to get him. Was a Jewish cop in the Hollywood area of Los Angeles. And as he was being taken away, and rightfully so, evidently his blood alcohol level was high enough, barely high enough, but high enough to be drunk. I have no problem with drunks being taken off the road. I think it's a good time, a good thing, whether you're Mel Gibson or anybody. But he said two things. One, he said to the cop, are you a Jew? And the second, he said, you know, Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. That's his opinion. And as far as his first question goes, yeah, the cop was a Jew. No doubt he was looking to get Mel Gibson because of Mel Gibson's movie, you know, The Passion of the Christ and so forth. Boy, it was made an international cause and everybody was out to get Mel Gibson. Now, friends, if a Frenchman picks you up down in New Orleans or Lafayette, Louisiana, and you say to him, are you a Frenchman? To the cop. And then you say, you know, France is responsible for all the wars in the world. It doesn't make a ripple. If I was a cop and somebody, and I arrested a drunk, and on the way to the Crossbar Hotel, he says, well, Officer Mars, are you Scottish? And I said, well, yes, I come from a Scottish heritage, among other things. And he said, well, you know, Scotland is responsible for all the wars in the world. I'd just say, is that right? How interesting. As I was booking him for his DWI, wouldn't mean anything to me. But Joan Rivers, yes, the same Joan Rivers that called Christian Jews MFers, said this of Mel Gibson. They ought to take him out and kill the MFer. They ought to take him out and kill the MFer. Again, you know what that curse word is. She wanted him to kill him. Kill Mel Gibson. For what he said about the Jews. The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. She wanted to kill him. Nice people. She gets to keep her job. It was touch and go whether Mel Gibson would be allowed to ever set foot in a movie studio again, but Joan Rivers will be back during the next Academy Awards, whatever, with her filthy mouths and sexual jokes and so on. Senator George Allen was asked by a interviewer a question, was he Jewish? Boy, he just went ballistic. He went ballistic. Well, it turned out that he had done some things. Said some very bad things about blacks when he was younger. And Senator George Allen had indeed hidden the fact that he was Jewish. Why would he do that? He, not only, according to one of his college football teammates, had used racial slurs to talk about blacks, but, let's see, I've got a newspaper article here about it. Says, Senator Allen bristled at questions about his Jewish ancestry, but finally admitted that yes, he was Jewish. bristled. Hey, friends, you can ask me what I am all the time. You know, on St. Patrick's Day, everybody says they're Irish. Nobody gets mad at the Irish. Maybe when Notre Dame beats them at football or something, that's about it. Seems a little touchy, doesn't it, to you? But there must be reasons why they want to hide the fact that they're Jewish. Why Hillary hid it until she was running for senator. And it was to her advantage because New York had so many Jews and she was running for the senatorial slot from New York. Senator George Allen pretended to be a Christian, even went to an Episcopal church. Said he was for evangelical Christian family values, but then was exposed as a Jew. Well, listen to this one. Jewish researcher Yaakov Wise, that's W-I-S-E, recently put out his findings, says the maternal ancestry of Pope John Paul II, whose real name was Karol Joseph Wojtyla, was Jewish. Pope John Paul II was a Jew. You may remember that we told you about that right here on this program, Power of Prophecy, years ago. Now, Yaakov Wise, who is Jewish, a researcher in Orthodox Jewish history and philosophy, said the late Pope's mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother were all Jewish and came from a small town not far from Krakow, Poland. What was he doing in the Catholic Church? Poland, a place packed with Jews before World War II. And Mr. Wise, who is a Jewish researcher, said, quote, according to Orthodox Judaism, a person's Jewish identity is passed down through the maternal line. Not only are they Jews, but they look like Jews, and he has photographs to prove it. Interestingly, Pope John's mother was, her real name was Emily Katz, K-A-T-Z. K-A-T-Z, Jewish. Not only that, but Mr. Wise said the Pope's ancestry has been researched by others, including an American historian. By the way, you can read about this in the Manchester, England Metro News, October 19, 2006. The Pope was Jewish, says historian. Meanwhile, a Lutheran church in San Francisco, according to Friday Church News Notes, March 31, 2006, a Lutheran church in San Francisco has just called a new pastor who happens to be homosexual. His name, the Reverend Robert Goldstein. Says the Reverend Robert Goldstein left his wife of 19 years claiming that he no longer wanted her because he was a homosexual. He said, I'm a man of integrity. That's why I left my wife, to be a gay. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, who was of the Israelite race, in Romans 1:26 says something about homosexuals, and none of the words that Paul used, a man I have great confidence in, none of the words Paul used sound like integrity or honesty at all. What did the Apostle Paul, who said he himself was of the tribe of Benjamin, he wasn't a crypto Jew, he was an open Jew, DNA wise, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ. What did he say about homosexuality? It's vile, it's unseemly, it's against nature. Those who do it are reprobates. Wow. Including Mr. Goldstein. Now, Mr. Goldstein and the Pope, why would the Pope hide the fact that he's Jewish? It came out that the first person he invited to his apartment turned out to be a Jewish man who gave him a personal visit in his apartment. a Jewish friend of his from Poland. Oh, yes. And it was this same Pope, now it is proven to be a Jew, who changed the Catholic catechism for the first time since the 1930s and changed the wording about the Jews and says the Jews are our elder brothers and they don't need, get this, they do not need to believe in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. They have their own old covenant. That was the Jewish Pope, Pope John Paul II. Friends, back in history, I can show you documentation where the Jewish Sanhedrin and Jewish rabbis told Jews, choose professions such as the Christian clergy. Become a Christian clergyman, the better to destroy the Christian church from within. Did not Pope John Paul II destroy the Christian church from within? And did not the whole world worship and admire the man? And the media adored him as well? When the media adore a Christian, so-called, you know something is wrong. Look at some of the crypto-Jews throughout history. Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati, a Jesuit priest, a professor of the University of Ingolstadt, a Jesuit priest, but a Jew. A Jew. He founded the Illuminati on May 1, 1776. From there we have the bloody French Revolution. Friends, crypto Jews are responsible for some of the most bloody events in history. Karl Marx claimed to be Christian, but he was Jewish. His father was his grandfather was a rabbi. After Marx's death, a member of his household testified that Marx often conducted private masses for himself. But he did so with prophylactic bands around his forehead, as the Jews do, and spoke in Hebrew dialect. And get this, worshiped the devil. He was a satanic Jew to boot. Karl Marx, the theoretician of Marxism, communism. President Dwight Eisenhower graduated from West Point, and in the yearbook of West Point for the year he graduated, that's the U.S. Military Academy, he is called the Swedish Jew. I wonder why. Zhirinovsky was a man who is now a legislator of the Duma, the parliament or Congress over in Russia today. Many people just a few years ago were very afraid that Zhirinovsky, who they claimed was a great hater of the Jews, he preached against the Jews and talked about setting up the ovens again for the concentration camps. Everybody was frightened of this Jew hater Zhirinovsky, till one day an enterprising reporter in Russia about a decade ago came out with some fabulous research. He found out that Zhirinovsky was Jewish. The very man who was shaking all of Russia by declaring, let us get rid of the Jews. They're a plague on this nation. They're a cancer. They're a menace. Zhirinovsky turned out to be Jewish. A closet Jew. Why was he fostering hatred, or was he? Was he actually helping the Jews? Think about it. This is Tex Mars. I'm going to be back with side two of Crypto Jews and their bloody role in human history when I return here on Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, I'm looking at just an excellent book by my friend Michael Collins Piper. It's entitled The Judas Goats. The Judas Goats. The Enemy Within. The Judas Goats. It's the shocking story of the infiltration and subversion of the American nationalist movement. You may be surprised to discover that some very interesting people, obviously, are not what they seem to be. And maybe American history is not what it seems to be. Judas goats, he calls them. And there are names that you should know about. There's Drew Pearson and Jack Anderson, the columnist. There's Bill and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. There's Jesse Helms, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. There's the John Birch Society and its leadership. The famous Walter Winchell, the columnist. Penetration of the American system. William F. Buckley, a man who was a CIA operative who claimed to be a conservative. Who are these people who are not what they claim to be? From J. Edgar Hoover to Franklin Roosevelt. And then there's, of course, the most recent Judas goat, a man named Timothy McVeigh. Who really was Timothy McVeigh? What happened in Oklahoma with the Murrah Federal Building? You need this incredible book, and you'll understand how politics really works. Who behind the scenes, the Zionists and others who are influencing our way of life, the government itself. This book is around 367 pages in length. We ask you for $25 for this book. It's entitled The Judas Goats. And inside, Mr. Piper explains what he means by the Judas Goats. Now, for $25, we'll send you this book. It's a tremendous book, brand new, just out, by Michael Collins Piper. Just ask for Piper, you know, like the Piper Club, a Piper Cub aircraft, P-I-P-E-R. Ask for the book, The Judas Goats, $25. Please add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $29. For the book, The Judas Goats, send a check or money order for $29 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us and use your charge cards. And our phone number toll-free here, that's during the week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And just talk to the friendly receptionist and say, hey, I'd like a copy of the book, Judas Goats by Piper. And we'll send it right out to you. Our phone number, toll-free, is 1-800-234-9673. And as always, we'll be glad to give you a free subscription to our newsletter. It'll come to you every month. By the way, this book, Judas Goats, is also offered on our website, powerofprophecy.com, or its sister website on the Internet, which is conspiracyworld.com. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about hidden people. People in the closet. And they rise to the highest levels within the clergy, within the banking community, as educators, or in politics. They hide the fact that they are crypto Jews. Why? Because they want to do something sneaky. They want to do something filthy or dirty, and they don't want people to know who they really are, that they are Jews. We talked about a few of these people, and I want to go a little further. You'll know, for example, you'll remember that a woman named Madeleine Albright was made Secretary of State in the Clinton administration. Turned out that Madeleine Albright, of course, came from Eastern Europe. She was not born in the United States. Her father was a member, a chief member of the Communist Party. And Madeleine Albright was outed as a Jew, and she claimed she was surprised. She had no idea of her Jewish roots. Then Tommy Franks, who during the Persian Gulf War, the first one, led our, the second one. After a while, you know, it's like World War One and Two and et cetera. But the first, of course, was Norman Schwarzkopf, was the general in charge. The second war into Iraq was led by General Tommy Franks. Turns out he's a closet or crypto Jew. During the last political campaign, we exposed some interesting things here at Power of Prophecy. We were the first on international radio to expose the fact that John Kerry, senator from Massachusetts, was not an Irish Catholic. Instead, he was a Jew, and his father and grandfather were Wall Street Jewish financiers. John Kerry, a rich Jew. And he was married to a woman named Teresa Hines, who also was Jewish. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Not too long ago, in fact, I have the article right here in front of me from the New York Times, May 3rd, 1999, talking about General Wesley Clark. He was given command of our NATO forces and promptly went over and began to bomb the dickens out of the poor people of Kosovo, Bosnia, Yugoslavia, murdering tens of thousands of people with bombing attacks and shelling. General Wesley Clark. He claimed that he was raised as a Protestant in Little Rock, Arkansas. And of course, Bill Clinton claimed he was raised as a Protestant too, in the little town of Hope, Arkansas. But as it turned out, General Wesley Clark, his real name was Kan, K-A-N-N-E, and he too was Jewish. And he was outed for being Jewish. And he said, well, I had no idea that I was a Jew. Over and over we see the crypto Jews. Nikita Khrushchev was the head of the Communist Party during the days of Nixon, Eisenhower. Khrushchev was once asked, are you Jewish? He looked at the reporter, smiled, and said, could be. After his death, it turned out he was indeed a Jew. And as you'll see in just a moment, all the founders of communism in the Soviet Union, a system that ended up massacring 66 million people, many of them Christians, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the premier historian of the 20th century. All of the founders of communism were Jews. All of the murderous Stalinist Leninists were Jews. The vast majority of commandants of the Soviet Gulag camps were Jewish. Dzerzhinsky, the first head of the murderous secret police of the Soviet Union, was Jewish. Beria, B-E-R-I-A, the most infamous of all heads of secret police, who massacred tens, hundreds of thousands, millions under Joseph Stalin, was Jewish. Sometimes these people claim that they're not Jews, but it turns out they're married to a Jewish wife. I believe they are Jews. They are closet Jews. They are crypto Jews. And that's why they're married to Jewish wives. Stalin, for example, many people believe he was Jewish, or at least half Jewish. We do know he was married to Rosa Kaganovich, whose brother, Mr. Kaganovich, was the deputy and mass murderer himself to Joseph Stalin. So imagine, Kaganovich was Jewish. His sister Rosa married Stalin. and perhaps kept a close eye on him as well. Gus Hall founded the Communist Party USA, was Jewish. Many people believe they have the evidence to prove that the Rockefeller families are Jewish and the Roosevelts. But if we want to go back and see the Jews, we can go all the way back through history, all the way back to Emperor Nero of Rome, maybe even further back than that. Recently, I was able to expose on this program that Rush Limbaugh, the famous so-called conservative, he's really a neocon conservative Jew, talk show host, is, of course, as I just said to you, a Jew. He traveled with his rabbi to Israel, a tradition among the rich Jews. By the way, I won't talk too much about it. I don't want to get into this little bit. But you know that Mr. Limbaugh was under investigation after his private jet was searched. His executive jet had flown to a certain gay resort on the islands there in the Caribbean. And when he came back to Florida there, the Democrats, who don't much like hypocrisy, the Democrats, who are very pro-homosexual, don't like the fact that the so-called Republican conservatives, who many of them, of course, are, well, they're homosexuals, but they pretend not to be to get the Christian vote, Republicans, that is. And they say that there were three things that were found in Limbaugh's possession, and they made sure that when they searched his plane, when he came back from, may I repeat it again, a fancy resort that is frequented by gays, the three things they found in his luggage were Viagra, a good supply of condoms, and Vaseline. And if you know anything about homosexuals, I'm not going to go any further than that. Pat Buchanan seems to be very straightforward on Israel. Makes you want to trust the guy. Turns out, though, he's married to a Jewish woman. Winston Churchill was known secretly to be Jewish. Of course, he was the prime minister in Great Britain during World War II. He was the one that worked with Roosevelt to get us into that war. Interesting article from United Press International, dated New York, recently came out. Says that William Churchill was very worried. You see, on October 29th, 1929 was Black Friday. And it just so happened that Winston Churchill was visiting the United States of America, and supposedly the story is he was visiting Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange. It happened to be a ruinous day that day because fortunes were lost and men began to jump out of hotel rooms and stock market brokerage offices. In the higher floors, we had the beginning of the Great Depression with the fall of Wall Street and one of the biggest crashes of all time, that Black Friday. Winston Churchill had much of his money in American stocks. And he was very worried that he had lost his whole fortune. He didn't know what he was going to do. And he paid a visit to stock market financier Bernard Baruch. Now, Mr. Baruch was Roosevelt's top advisor. He had his office in the White House. He had no real position, except he just ran the whole government of the United States behind the scenes. He was the Mordecai of World War II. The Mordecai for King Franklin D. Roosevelt, Bernard Baruch. Churchill went to see Mr. Baruch. He said, I'm ruined. Now, all of this, by the way, has been written up by historian William Manchester. You can read about it in the February-March issue of American Heritage magazine. Manchester, by the way, is the author of The Last Lion, Winston Spencer Churchill Visions of Glory. One of America's top historians. He says that Baruch laughed and said, "You don't have anything to worry about, Winston. We protected all your money. I directed my assistants every share of stock that you own, we've already taken care of. We left instructions for my assistants to buy equivalent stocks every time you sold and to sell whatever you bought. So we've totally covered you. Whether you bought or sold on this incredible day, we have protected you." You know what that meant? Baruch knew the stock market was going to crash. And he was protecting his friends, including Mr. Churchill. Baruch told Winston Churchill, "I've even paid your commissions for you." He saved him. Churchill, secretly a Jew. Nero is known as one of the most bloodthirsty of dictators. Did you know? According to the book, The World Conquers, by Louis Marsalkó, a Hungarian, Nero was Jewish. His wife was a Jewish woman. Her name, Poppaea Sabina, the wife of Emperor Nero. Nero, the one who played the fiddle supposedly while Rome burned, and then he blamed it on the Christians and conducted a terrific purge and murderous massacres of Christians. Well, no wonder he wanted to exterminate the Christians. He was Jewish. A few years ago, I visited Europe, and I was taken around by a historian who was my guide. And as we saw the Roman Colosseum, he said, "Did you know that it was the family of Nero who owned the land where the Colosseum sat?" I said, "Really?" I said, "Let me ask you a question. Is it true that the family of Nero were Jewish?" He said, "Oh, yes. Nero was Jewish. There's no doubt about that." He said, "Roman and Italian historians have documented that." Interesting, isn't it? The hater of Christians was Jewish. You say, "No, he wasn't. He was Roman. He had all the Roman gods to worship." Jews will worship any god, including the god of money. Dear friends, it doesn't matter. They will pretend to be Christian or Muslim or whatever it takes. Nero conveniently worshipped all the gods of Rome and Greece, but he and his wife Poppaea were Jewish. Very fabulous, interesting book a friend sent me by Samuel Bakioki, who, as I understand it, is tied to Jesuits in some way. But in any case, in this book, the name of the book, by the way, let me make sure I've got it right. It's called From Sabbath to Sunday, A Historical Investigation of the Rise of Sunday Observance in Early Christianity. I hope I'm right about the author, but I believe he's the author is one that... we'll talk about this author later, but let me just tell you, it's an interesting historical book. He talks in it, in fact, about Nero and it being married to the Empress Poppaea Sabina, a Jewish woman, and the fact that it is very possible that Nero so hated the Christians because of the Jewish influence that he had. Recently, Reverend Ted Pike, a man that I trust and admire, who's exposed many such things as I have, wrote an article called The ACLU Top Heavy with Jews. The ACLU Top Heavy with Jews. Of course, the ACLU was founded with Jewish influence, and the ACLU and two other organizations, the Jewish ADL or the B'nai B'rith, Masonic Jewish group, and also the Southern Poverty Law Center, a third group, were all founded by Jews. And Pike mentions something. He says, first of all, that the second in command, the president of the American Civil Liberties Union, remember now, this is the group that fights to get the Ten Commandments down off of school walls, fights to keep a Christmas free of Jesus, fights to get a prayer out of schools and out of athletic events. In other words, does everything it can to destroy all vestiges of Christianity and even of God in the United States. The ACLU, he said, is heavy, top heavy with Jews. He says the president is Nadine Strossen. She's Jewish. Huh. She's won Woman of Distinction Award from the Women's League of Conservative Judaism. She's also a big wig in the National Council of Jewish Women. She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Behind her, in control of the ACLU, it's his legal counsel, Stephen Shapiro, Jewish. Then behind him is Jerry Rosansky, a Jewish activist, who was one of the directors of the American Jewish Committee. But guess what? They have a new executive director now behind, or ahead of, whatever you want to call it, Strassen and Shapiro and Rosansky, all who are Jews, is a man named Anthony Romero. How did a Hispanic get to be the executive director of the ADL with all the Jews behind him? Well, of course, it helped for him to be an in-your-face homosexual. And ACLU, as does the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, supports the homos as much as it does Jewish interest. Wow. Ted Pike says, Jews comprise only 2.5% of the American population, yet most of the largest anti-Christian civil liberties, so-called organizations, are disproportionately staffed by them. People for the American Way, founded and directed by left-wing Jewish TV producer Norman Lear. All the Jews, they're the ones, you know, Reverend Kennedy, a good man down in Florida, is all the time fighting the ACLU. Others are fighting the ACLU and all these left liberal groups like People for the American Way. But they never tell you they're all run by the Jews, do they? They don't want you to know. It's good to fight the ACLU, but they don't want you to know that it's run by Jews who founded it. Now, as far as Romero goes, Anthony D. Romero, just because his name is Hispanic does not mean he's not a Jew. Fidel Castro is Jewish. You say, what? You mean the dictator of Cuba? Well, why do you think that the New York Times and all the press supported him when he first came to power? Well, of course, he closed up most of the Catholic churches and all of the Protestant churches. Fidel Castro says, yes, I am Jewish. He is Jewish. Many people came from Spanish heritage, from Spain, and they're Jews. It is believed that all of the richest families of Mexico are Jews. They have Hispanic names, but they are Jews. Vicente Fox, who just left the presidency of Mexico, came from a very rich crypto-Jewish family. 70% of the membership, over 70% of the membership of the Council on Foreign Relations that is giving us this North American Union are Jews. And they had just elevated to membership the president of La Raza. Supposedly is Hispanic, but is she? Is Romero, we know him to be an in-your-face homosexual executive director of the ADL, but could it be that he's Jewish? I would not be surprised at all. In fact, some of the people who are Jewish would surprise you, but I have some amazing material. I hope I have time for it here. Here's an article, for example, from a Jewish website called Kesher Talk, KESHER Talk.com. KesherTalk.com. Okay? They call themselves the Hebrew Connection. The Hebrew Connection. It's from a very hawkish, liberal Jewish perspective. That's how it identifies itself on the web. They had an article September 28th, very interesting. Said, think about the millions of Mexicans entering the U.S. illegally in a bid for a better life. To hell with U.S. laws and border controls. Think about it, they say. Remember now, this is a Jewish website. Why are they interested in this? Listen closely. They say, are you thinking about that? On the southern border, millions of Mexicans entering the U.S. illegally? Well, think again, they say. What about your thoughts if many of them turned out to be Jewish? The article writer says, in the August issue of Moment, a Jewish publication, it was revealed that many of the leaders of Hispanic civil rights organizations in the United States are Jewish Mexicans. And some of them are converts to Judaism. They were quote-unquote Christian, but now it's convenient. For example, a former Methodist minister named Carlos Diaz. I've seen him, one of the talking heads, saying, let's let all the Mexicans in. Just drop all the immigration controls of the border. Mr. Carlos Diaz, as it turns out, this former Methodist minister, turned out to be Jewish. There's even a congregation, Hebrew, de Baja in Tijuana, Mexico. Jewish Mexicans. Appears, according to the Moment Jewish magazine, 30 million Mexicans could have a Jewish background. Wow. You remember way back in 1492, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain kicked out all the Jews in their country? Maybe that's why Christopher Columbus was sent to the Americas. You ever thought about it? Maybe that's why the Spanish conquistadors came looking for gold. And it ended up with all of these Spanish colonies and such. Maybe many of them were led by Jews looking for gold or something else. Mr. Romero, are you a Jewish Hispanic? Former Emperor of Spain, Francisco Franco, admitted he was a Murano Jew. He was dictator of Spain in the 30s, Jewish. Castro, Franco, Marx, Lenin, Trotsky. They claimed to be Russian, but they were Jewish. Crypto Jews and bloodshed. They go together. Watch out, America. Watch out for the crypto Jews hidden in every area of American life, especially the government, especially in commerce. Bloodshed in our future could be because of the crypto Jews. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.